Good morning, church. It's great to be with you this morning. I don't know about you, but I'd have been okay if we just skipped the lesson altogether and just continued to worship God. This has been special. This is important. And I think for me, it's like in this moment, this is what I want to do more than anything else, is worship our God. I was thinking about what David said about being fourth string or whatever it might be for doing announcements. Can you imagine from this position? All three of those guys are gone, and you've been stuck with me for 2 weeks. What I'm grateful for is that the message is way more important than the messenger. Last week, we talked about transformation, and if you notice, I didn't move. My dad used to call it being strapped to the chariot because there were so many things that it was important for me to try to convey to us that I had to stay on my notes. And you were here a minute, too. Today is going to be a little bit different. Someone asked me about the length of my sermon today. I think they had like lunch plans or something, jokingly or not. I think I have like half the words from last Sunday, but I'm going to talk slower, and I'm going to move a little bit. It'll probably be a little shorter today, but I don't want you to get used to it because Terry's driving home already. He's on his way. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray in the understanding also. And then he says something special. He says, I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing in the understanding also. I think it's very important that we understand the words that we sing. Imagine if we had somebody in our worship today, if this could happen, from 1826. We'll just pick that year randomly out. They may have a trouble understanding some of our lyrics or some of our songs. Mountain where I run, throw up my hands. But conversely, we sing songs sometimes with words that we don't understand. I'm going to give you an example. Now, some of you may know this because you've studied it before, but what about Night with Ebon Pinion? I like the song, but I have no clue what that means. Ebenezer. Raise my Ebenezer. Do you know an Ebenezer? I don't know an Ebenezer. My favorite one. What a song of delight in a city so bright will be wafted neath heaven's fair dome. Wafted. Now, you may have studied that before, and I'm gonna teach you something this morning. To be wafted is like a soft breeze blowing a little feather around. How light, you know? So, what a song of delight in a city so bright will be wafted like a feather under heaven's fair dome. It's a cool idea. I love that. But I think the point is being made that we need to understand the words that we're singing. Not only do we need to understand it, but we need to recognize how incredibly powerful those words are. We just sang a song, King of My Heart. Now, we sang it a dozen times. I don't know. We sang it several times here. Many of us have listened to it for several years. We know the song pretty well. But do you feel like you really understand what it means? We're asking God to become these things in our life, then I probably should know what I'm asking. Luke chapter 6, verse 46, gives us a danger that we need to avoid. It says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? So today what we're going to do with this song, this theme, King of My Heart, we're going to slow this song down just a little bit. And we're going to talk about the immense, like the treasure of information, the treasure that we can draw from just the first phrase or so of this song. Let's see if I can operate this thing. I turned it off. There it is. Let's start with the first six words. Let the King of my heart. The King of my heart. Let's talk about a king for a minute. When we think about a king, there are a lot of things that may come to mind. Somebody in a measure of authority, right? Because of that authority, they command obedience from their subjects. It may be that when we think about a king, we think about ownership. That king owns a people. He owns this property. He owns this space, his kingdom. And then also, we would also think, as it pertains to a king, that there would be a measure of allegiance, right? The king requires, and we as the subject should give allegiance to the king. The question that I want to pose to us this morning as we get started is, who actually rules your heart? Not who attends church, not who knows the scriptures, not who sings loudly, not anything else, but in your life, who gets the final vote? There are scriptures beautifully written to talk about our hearts and how that it should impact our lives. Verses like Proverbs 4:23, and the writer says there, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, a verse that many of us maybe know by heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know that every heart has a throne? Every heart has a throne. I don't think that can be put into question. And the question is never whether that throne has a king. But the question that you and I have to ask ourselves boldly, as we, referring to last week, look into God's mirror. Who sits on that throne? Who sits on the throne of my heart? When I think about this song, nope. When life explodes on you. And it does, doesn't it? When life flips upside down. When life doesn't go as you want it to, when you're in peril, when you're in fear, when you don't know where to turn, my question is, when life explodes, where do you run first? Possible answers. Maybe we run to the throne of money, to the throne of friends, maybe entertainment, maybe food. Is it social media? Is that where we run when life explodes? Is it anger that becomes prevalent in our lives? Is it work? When our life is upside down, do we just bury ourselves in work? Do we sleep through it? Do we try to, the best we can as ourselves, to try to control it? The scripture reading we had earlier in Psalm chapter 18 and verse 2, we'll ask this question. Is God who we run to first? The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. We were talking in our Bible class this morning about singing songs and why sometimes we don't sing. And somebody made the comment, maybe I'm not singing this song because this song has convicted me and it's showing me that I'm not living the words that I'm singing in that song. And so will we take that same mindset in verse 2 of chapter 18 in Psalm? Is the Lord your rock? Is He your fortress? Is He your deliverer? Is He your shield? You know, when a child gets scared, one of the things we know is that a child doesn't stop to analyze the situation. Right? They don't calculate risk. They just run. When a child is scared, they just run. And where they run reveals where they trust. What does your first reaction reveal about your trust? My trust. Again, similar to what we said last week, running isn't weakness. But running to the wrong mountain is. Let me tell you something about mountains. They don't move. Mountains don't move. People may move. The economy, it moves. Jobs move. Our health moves. Politics move. Feelings move. God doesn't move. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. For I, the Lord, do not change. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where help comes from the Lord? From where does my help come? It comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. And then verse 8. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. See, if my refuge moves, it was never much of a refuge at all. But we've already skipped ahead and back. The song doesn't stop there. Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run and the fountain I drink from. I ask you this morning, what do you drink from every day? Not physically, but what do you drink spiritually? Where do you go to feel accepted? Where do you go to feel important or valuable or peaceful or even successful? Interesting, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, the writer says that there, God speaking, for my people have committed two evils. They have forgotten me or forsaken me, he says. The fountains of living water. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And secondly, they've hewn out cisterns for themselves. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. And you know, that may be one of the saddest verses in all of Scripture. Because God isn't angry because they were thirsty. He was heartbroken because they walked away from living water. You remember John chapter 4, we talked many times about all the lessons from Jesus and the woman at the well. This poor woman, she tried relationships and approval and companionships and starting over again and again and again, and yet she's still thirsty. Notice Jesus, by the way, never condemned her thirst. He just redirected it. I once read, most sin begins with a legitimate thirst satisfied in an illegitimate way. What are you drinking this morning? Looking into God's mirror, what are you drinking? Approval, money, achievement, comfort, success, children, retirement, popularity, politics, hope not, entertainment, even ministry. Good things become idols when they replace the living water. You and I need a fountain to drink from. We need a fountain to drink from daily. I know this. Number one, the Lord told us. Secondly, it's because we continue to struggle, don't we? We still seem to have things that get in the way. They're the blockers. It's fear, it's anxiety, it's all these things of which we called out in class this morning that we try to fix ourselves. We think we can. When are we going to kind of figure it out? I can do all things. That is not how the verse ends. I can do all things through Christ, the fountain I drink from. It is that hungering and thirsting for righteousness from Matthew. You could read all through the book of Psalms and see how David does an incredible job, though inspired, of addressing this idea of desperation and need and dependence that you and I need to have on God and on His Son. It's interesting. We talked about that in Bible class, and on the way over here, I had two different people talk about an illustration of yesterday. They were outside, and it was hot. And somebody said, "Are you thirsty?" "Yeah, I'm thirsty. I'm boiling out here." And when we're thirsty like that, boy, we really have got to have that quenched. It's like you can't get enough and you can't get it fast enough. That's the kind of relationship with God that we should crave. The more I worship Him, the more I want to worship Him. The more I read His Word, which guides my life, the more I want to read His Word. I've explained to you this circle of faith many times. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That means the more that I'm in God's Word, the more I'm growing in my faith. And guess what? The more my faith grows, the more I want to be in His Word. The fountain I drink from. The mountain where I run. Where do you run? What are you drinking? Let's try this again. No. See, I can't get the up and down right. I should get fired. I love this part of the song. I love that the Lord can be the mountain that I run to. I love that He is my refuge and strength. I love that He is my shelter. I love that I can quench my thirst daily in Him. But when we think about this, He is my song. The question is, what do people hear when they listen to your life? Because your song isn't just what's coming out of your mouth. It's also what comes out of your heart. Luke chapter 6. Verse 45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaketh. Psalm 40, verse 3, He has put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Is that me? Is that me? You know, I believe everyone has background music going on in their life. May have never heard that before. I think everyone has background music. Some people live with anxiety playing in the background. Some with fear. Some people with anger. Some people with gratitude. What's playing behind your heart? See, if Christ is truly your song, if He's truly my song, then people should hear Him before they hear my opinions. Yeah? Kind of was an amen moment. They should hear hope and peace and joy and kindness and grace and truth before they hear my complaining. So when people leave a conversation with me or with you, what's the melody that they take with them? See, the transformation that we talked about last Sunday must be reflected in this way, church. The new man or the new woman is redeemed and rescued. He has a, or she has a new song, a new purpose, a new perspective. When we go back to the King, our King, He provides three things to His people. Protection, the mountain where I run. Provision, the fountain I drink from. Purpose and identity. He is my song. Now let's bring the first few words and phrases of this song together. Mountain where I run, fountain where I drink, song that naturally comes out. These are not different ideas, folks. I actually think they're tests. They're tests for us. Where do I run? What satisfies me? What naturally comes from me? See, the answer to those three questions tells me who the King of my heart really is. This morning, I'm not asking you, do you love Jesus? I know you do. But I will ask, when life falls apart, where do you run? When your soul gets thirsty, where do you drink? And when people hear your life, what song do they hear? And if the answer to that isn't Jesus, today the King is inviting you back. Now, I told you I only had half the words. I have asked Jason, at the last minute, of course, yesterday, for us to sing King of My Heart as our invitation song. And maybe it's the catalyst for change in your life. Or it's touched you in a meaningful way, and most importantly, in a transformative way. Spirit and in the understanding, let the King of my life be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. He is my song. This morning, if you just need to come home or you need the prayers of the church, if you need to become a child of God, whatever you need, we stand ready, willing. God's arms are open wide. The invitation is yours. Please come. It's together with you.